All right. I wanted to start this morning by giving you an update on our Hoosier One program. I told you last week we would take down the Hoosier One display because we were going to be setting up for Christmas and decorating for Christmas, and that'll be, I think the ladies are doing that on Saturday. But I wanted to let you know what God did through your faithfulness in being intentional about sharing your faith. We had 55 who said, by placing a white ping pong ball in that display, that I am praying for somebody who is lost around me. 55. We had 18 who had a meal with the person that they're trying to share their faith with. We had 14 who did acts of kindness for those that they're trying to share their faith with. And 18 listened to the story of the one they were trying to share their faith with. And 11 shared their faith. Now, we did not, not that I know of, have somebody that accepted Christ because of our people's faithfulness to do that, but God does not expect, or He does not hold us accountable for the results, does He? He calls us to be faithful to share. And so I think we need to celebrate those who were obedient to share their faith. Will we give a round of applause for what God did through that? And as I said before, just because the ping pong ball's out here doesn't mean you should not continue to do all that you can to build relationships with those that you know are lost, doing acts of kindness, sharing a meal, hearing their story, and proclaiming the gospel. So I pray that even though we don't have the ping pong balls out here anymore, that Hoosier One is a way of life for us here at Flint Hill Baptist Church. We are continuing with our path of discipleship. We've been working through this, and so those of you who haven't been with us, so we just want to kind of catch up to speed where we're at. There is a path. There are things that God calls us to do as His followers to disciple ourselves, to disciple one another, to grow in our relationship with Him, to be who He's created us to be. And so as we read scriptures, we see what those things are. The first, of course, is after we make a relationship with Jesus Christ at the top there. After we're saved, we're to be baptized. We are to follow through in obedience of being baptized. The second thing He calls us to do is to join a church, to be local, to be part of a local church where we live, and be fully committed to that church and serve that church, to be in accountable relationships with those in our church family. But God just didn't save us to leave us there. He saved us for a reason, so we might love. We might love Him. We love on Him in different ways, but two of the main ways is to love in Him in corporate worship, like we're doing this morning, and in private worship, what we call a quiet time. So we talked about having a quiet time. Also, we're to love on each other. He saved us so we might love on the family of God. And so we do that in small groups by being part of a small group and studying God's Word together, engaging in each other's lives, and ministering to one another, encouraging one another, loving on each other. So then we move to the second part of our purpose statement. The first part of the purpose statement is we are saved to love. The second part of our mission statement is that we are equipped to serve. So we took a look at reading God's Word and making sure we're reading it systematically. And this week we take a look at memorizing God's Word. What does it mean to memorize God's Word? Why is it powerful? Why does God call us to do it? There's a story of two brothers who were walking through their father's land, and they came up on a tree, and it was filled with fruit. And they both took of that fruit and they ate it, and it was delicious. It was scrumptious. They loved it. And so one brother, he just started gathering all the fruit off the tree he could as possible so he could take it home and enjoy it. And he did that for a few days. But then the fruit ran out. The second brother did something different, though. He went and he got a bulldozer and he excavated that tree, took it out of the ground, took it back to his own yard and planted it there. And after a year or so, while the younger brother didn't have any more fruit, he had fruit all the time, and plenty of it, more than he could eat. The Bible is like that fruit tree in that story. Merely hearing the Word of God is to be like the first brother. You might gather much of it from the truth and in that encounter and might even bring some home to feed on for a few days. But in the long run, it runs out. It doesn't compare to having the Word of God planted in your own life. When we memorize God's Word, it is like we are planting God's Word in our life. Scripture memorization is one of the most neglected discipline by Christians today. I would say the number one neglected discipline is fasting. But I would say the second most neglected discipline by many Christians is scripture memorization. Christians look at memorizing scripture today as tantamount to martyrdom. And sometimes when I say, well, you need to memorize scripture, and they'll look at me like I've asked them to get a root canal. They just don't want to do it. Maybe they're associating memorization with what they had to do in middle school and high school and memorizing things for tests and classes, and maybe it didn't have much significance for their everyday life, and so it was a drudgery. It was something that we don't like to do. But what if I offered you $1,000 for every verse that you memorized in 1 week? Would your view towards memorization change? Would your motivation change? Certainly it would. Certainly you would then become very motivated to memorize as much scripture as possible, would you not? But what if I told you that memorizing God's Word and the scriptures that we memorize are more valuable than $1,000? Do you believe that? The author of the Psalms believed that. The author of Psalms 19 believed that. And so I want to read Psalm 19, 7 through 11 this morning. Will you stand? Let's honor God's Word as I read this passage. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Thank you. You may be seated. Why does scripture memorization, what does it do for us? Well, what are the benefits? Well, let's look at that. The first benefit is this. Scripture memorization helps us resist temptation. Anybody ever tempted in here? Even it's by that third piece of pumpkin pie this past weekend? Did you know that Jesus used scriptures to combat temptation? Jesus faced the temptation of Satan himself in person. Not only that, but after he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights fasting. I don't know about you, but if I haven't eaten in a while, I become hangry. Imagine 40 days and 40 nights of fasting. Would you be susceptible to be tempted? I know I would. Listen to what happened in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Jesus used the very words of God that he had hid in his heart to overcome temptation. And if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you and for me. What's true for Jesus is true for us. Scripture memorization is the best weapon that we have when we face the temptations of Satan. scripture memorization is your best tool to have when you face the temptation of sin in your life. Is there any one of you in here that is not tempted by some sin or another? No one? Of course we are. Why would we not use the best tool, the best weapon that we have available to us? Yet many of us leave it in the closet, not using it to our avail. We can't say it is written if we don't know what is written in the Word of God. David knew this to be true in Psalm 119, 11. He says, I have stored up your word in my heart. For what reason? That I may not sin against you. Do you want to sin against God? I'm pretty sure you don't. But he gave us a tool so we may not sin. And that tool is writing God's word on our heart. Nothing is more powerful than when you find yourself tempted than to have the word of God ready and there on your mind and part of your life. It gives you the power to overcome temptation, crisis, or the problem that you're facing. The second benefit of memorizing God's word is it helps us make wise decisions. It helps us make wise decisions. Psalm 119, 105 says, we sang this, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The more we know what God says, the more we'll know what God thinks. I've had this happen time and time again. I have a big decision to make. And God will bring to mind a scripture that I memorized sometimes way back in the past when I was doing sword drills as an elementary kid and a middle schooler and a high schooler. He'll bring those scriptures forward and I'll remember what God said and it will help me make the decision that I need to make. But that can't happen if we don't memorize God's word. Third, memorizing scripture helps us when we're under stress. Psalm 119, 49 through 50 says, remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, that your promise gives me life. When our children are struggling, when they're struggling with something, what do? We give words of encouragement to them. We want to comfort them with our words when they're under stress. In the same way, God has given us words of comfort to us. It comforts us when we're in stress. The more scripture we know, the more scripture we have in our heart, the less stressed out we will be. The next reason we should memorize scripture is that memorizing scripture comforts us when we face dark times. It comforts us when we face dark times. The Bible is filled with comfort. Consider Jeremiah 15:16. It says, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. There's accounts of soldiers who were captured in Vietnam, and they were kept in prison camps for years, even after the war ended. Some kept for up to 6 years, and they were in this terrible situation. In environment, many kept in isolation, wet and damp and dark, vermin running around their cells. Some kept in isolation without even the benefit of light. And there are accounts of men who would, when they could talk to each other, even though they didn't have anything, they would think about the scriptures that they had memorized. And many, didn't memorize a lot, but their cellmate or the person in the cell next to them would remember the verses as well. Or maybe this one could remember verse 1, this one could remember verse 2, and this one remembered verse 3, and they would piece it together, and they would use each other to make sure that they had the verses memorized correctly, and they would begin to recite them. And after even years, they were able to piece together from their memory great passages of Scripture. And they accounted that those scriptures were the things that gave them hope in the deepest, darkest pits of their despair. because they had walked in the light of the Scripture. While they were walking in the light, once they faced the darkness, they had what they needed to comfort them in that terrible, terrible time. Memorizing Scripture gives us comfort. Next, memorizing Scripture helps us witness to unbelievers. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." We need to remember that the Word of God is more effective than anything that I can say. Me reading God's Word to you is more effective than any illustration or crafting of words that I could put together to deliver from this stage. It is the Word of God that is living and active, piercing the soul. So when we share our faith, when we've memorized God's Word and we use that Word, God honors that and He uses that as we speak into people's lives. And when we try to share our faith with somebody and share the plan of salvation, God uses those Scriptures. So when we share our faith, when we've memorized God's Word, He'll bring those verses to mind and help us share it with them, and it will be powerful and effective. Now some say, "I can't memorize. I just can't do it. I struggled when I was a kid, and I struggle now. Wayne, I can't memorize Scripture." I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Even as we've gone through this revitalization and we've started challenging even our deacons and some of our leadership to start memorizing Scripture and being accountable to that, and they've struggled. But the fact is, we memorize all the time. You memorize team stats, you memorize song lyrics, you memorize quotes from movies, all kinds of information that has no ability to change your life. But we say we can't memorize God's Word that has the ability to transform us into the likeness of Christ and change our eternity. So I want to give you some tips on memorizing God's Word to helpfully make it simpler and easier for you. How can you memorize Scripture? Well, the first suggestion I have for you is this. Pick a set of verses or a passage of verses. You can begin with the verses of the three circles. Remember, there were six verses with the three circles. And if we memorize verses that have to do with something or a narrative that we're telling or a doctrine that we're trying to share, it makes it easier for us to memorize it because we're hanging those verses on a structure that we know. Remember the three circles? It starts with God's design. It's easy to memorize Genesis 1:1, that God created the heavens and the earth, because it's connected to that circle. We know that we sin. All people sin. And so if we memorize Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," because it's connected to those three circles, it's easy to memorize. The next circle, brokenness. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Then the gospel, of course, John 3:16, that one's easy to memorize. But there's a response. What is the response we need? Romans 10:9-10. "If we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess with our mouth that He is Lord, we will be saved." And then there's what God wants to do. He wants to return us to His design. That's 2 Corinthians verse. "If we are saved, we are a new creation in Him." And so if we, just those six verses, allows us to have a connection, how they're connected to one another, how they're connected to salvation, and it makes it easier to memorize. But I think the best option for picking a passage is pick a passage that is connected to one another. Don't just read a verse here or memorize a verse here or memorize a verse there, but pick a whole passage. Like John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and God, and the Word was Him." Go through that. Don't just stop with verse 1, but memorize as much as you can. Psalm 1, which is the passage that I'm working on presently. 1 Corinthians 13, Memorize 1 John 1. That's a great passage. Memorize the Ten Commandments. Memorize the Beatitudes. Memorize Philippians 2, that great passage about Christ and who he was. But when we memorize a passage of scriptures that are connected to one another, because they're connected to one another in logic, they're telling a doctrine, they're telling a story, they're telling the truth, they're easier to memorize because they're connected to one another. Next, choose to focus on one verse a week. One verse a week. If we will break Scripture down into small parts, it's easy to memorize anything. And if you will focus on one verse 1 week, and then move on to the second week, add the second verse of that passage. So if I'm memorizing Psalm 1, I'll work on verse 1 1 week, and then the next week I'll review verse 1, and I'll go on to the next one. If you do it that way and spend time on it each day in your quiet time, you only need to memorize 1 to 3 words a day. Anybody be able to memorize 3 words a day? Sure you can. You can do it. So this is what I've done. When I came to Psalm 1:1, on Sunday, I just focused on blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. I got it. Blessed is the man. Then on Monday, I review Sunday, blessed is the man who walks not. And then I, all right, say those two together. And so I've got that memorized. On Tuesday, I add on the next verse, next part of the verse. And if we will do that on a daily basis and return to it each and every day, it's easier to memorize. Next, say the reference before and after you say the verse. Here's the example for Psalm 1:1. It goes like this, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, Psalm 1:1. The reference is the hardest thing to memorize, is it not? Because usually it's just numbers. But if we say it before we recite the verse and after we recite the verse, we will remember it better. Next, break the verse into natural phrases that you can memorize. Go ahead and show that. Maybe we don't have one for that one. There we go. Blessed is the man who on Monday, who walks not, Tuesday in the counsel of the wicked, Wednesday nor stands, Thursday in the way of sinners, Friday nor sits, Saturday in the seat of scoffers. And if you will just break it into the natural phrases, revisit it every day, add on the next phrase each time, you can easily memorize it. Next, emphasize key words in the verse. And I've done that for the Psalm 1:1. Go ahead and hit that slide. If you notice, there are 3 main verbs of this verse. Walks, stands, and sits. But then there are 3 groups of people we should not hang out with, and that's on the next slide. We're not to walk with the wicked. We're not to stand with the sinners. We're not to sit with the scoffers. And if we'll focus on those main key words, it helps us memorize the whole verse. Next, always memorize the scriptures word perfect. You don't want to memorize Wayne's version of the scripture or Barry's version of the scripture or Barbara's version of the scripture. You want to memorize, pick a good translation and memorize it word for word. So you're not paraphrasing it, but you're memorizing it word for word. Next, place the scripture where you can see it. Put it on your mirror as you get ready in the morning so you can read it. Put it on an index card and maybe put it on your refrigerator. And every time you have to open your refrigerator, you got to look and try to memorize part of that scripture. That might help you with your diet as well as helping you with scripture memory. If you had to do that every time you opened up the door. There's one gentleman who put it in index cards and he put it on his visor in his car, and every time he stopped at a red light, he would pull that visor down and he'd spend time memorizing God's word. He said that he had memorized over 500 verses just by doing that. Think about all the time you spend at red lights. I can't think of a better way to spend that time than memorizing God's word. Finally, visit the scripture every day. If you only try and look at the scripture on Friday or right before you're meeting with your accountability partner or your follow me partner, you're not going to memorize it. It's something you have to do every day. You're already having your quiet time every day, right? One of the things you should do in your quiet time is spend that time on that scripture. Look at it regularly. And if you look at it regularly every day, you can commit it to memory. But if you're just trying to cram for the exam, only looking at it once or twice a week, you're just going to get frustrated. I hope that that has been helpful. Because it is my desire, it is our desire, for you as a member here at Flint Hill Baptist Church to have the Word of God planted in your life. So it might transform who you are and how you behave and the things that you do and the things that you say and the attitudes that you have. That they might reflect Christ, that you might look like Christ. And when we memorize God's Word, when we plant God's Word in our hearts and in our lives through memorization, God is able to mold and shape us and change us into the image of Christ. Will you choose to memorize God's Word? On that path of discipleship, you might be doing great so far. You might have said, oh, I'm doing all those things. I'm in a Bible study class. I'm attending worship. Some of you might be bumping up against this one. Imagine if every single one of us, as the family here at Flint Hill Baptist Church, were committing the Word of God to memory. What would it do to our interactions with one another? What would it do to our hearts and our attitudes? What would it do as we interact with the lost that are around us? Would it not change us? Would it not revitalize us as a church? I believe it would. May we have the Word of God written on our hearts, for it is only the Word of God that can change who we are. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that we don't have to look and wonder and worry what you think. We don't have to wonder how you would behave in a certain situation or wonder what your instructions are. You have given us your Word, and it's living and it's active. It's transformative. It changes the heart, the soul, and the mind. May we as a church family commit to memorizing your Word, to writing it on our hearts so it might change who we are and how we behave. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you don't know the author of God's Word, if you don't have a personal love relationship with Him, I want to invite you to come into love relationship with Him even this morning. As we sing the song of invitation, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would love to help you start on that journey. If you're not part of a church family, we'd love to have you part of our family here at Flint Hill. Will you come as we sing?